Getting close to the end of the meditation. Allow yourself to come out, to emerge. I will ring the gong 3 times. So you can come out from your meditation. Very good. Oh, we did get the internet going, that's good. So, any questions from the floor today about the idea, the theme of just going in? Okay. Oh, okay. The first 30 minutes were not streamed. Never mind, we didn't actually enter the stream until 30 minutes afterwards. Anyway, from Germany, whenever I sit down to meditate, my thoughts go crazy. If I give them space rather than calming down, you have any suggestions for me? It's sometimes what you do before you sit down. In other words, often you take into your meditation practice just what happened beforehand. So just before you sit down, just don't have a strong cup of coffee. Don't just check all your emails and messages and just get freaked out with what's going on. So just have 10 or 15 minutes beforehand, before you meditate. There is a reason. Just why that on a Saturday, the first 15 or 20 minutes I talk, instead of just starting meditation straight away. On a Friday evening, we meditate, that's probably because we're trying to get the talk as focused on, to calm the mind for the talk. But if you can, just put 15 minutes before you actually sit down, and do things which are calming and peaceful. It is like the simile of if you're riding a bicycle, you can put on the brakes and you can usually sort of stop pretty quickly. But if you're having one of these big road trains, these 3 carts, with a big truck in the front, which you see here in Australia, that if you put the brakes on, it takes a while before all that momentum, all that energy can start to stop and come to peace. And that is just like a mind. In our modern world, we do run around a lot. And we have lots of momentum of all of our tasks and worries. And so if we can prepare ourselves beforehand to just to do quiet things before we meditate, and then that's preparing ourselves so that when we sit down, the mind is already pretty peaceful. And sit down to meditate, your thoughts go crazy. Number two, it's just look at your body first of all. Because feeling the body, you can't really think about the body, because at least you're not really thinking really at the body. So if you're mindful in the body, at the body, just not of the body, but just feeling it, just being with it, experiencing it. Then you find again, it's just the thoughts, they just can't really sort of come in. How can you explain all the different sensations for example, sometimes I ask people, beware of your bottom. What does that feel like? We don't have much language to describe the various multifaceted bottom feelings. Other stuff we got huge language for, but bottom feeling, what does your bottom feel like right now? So what it does is some of those experiences, you find how limited the language is, and thoughts are just messing around with language, with ideas and with concepts. So what we do is we feel our body. If that doesn't work, you go outside and feel the wind on your cheeks. Get the rain, if there's any rain wherever you live, just, you know, on your hair. Feel it. Take your shoes and socks off and just walk on the grass. Feel, instead of think about life. Because sometimes our thoughts, we've all become philosophers a long way away just from feelers. Intellectual intelligence rather than emotional intelligence, experience. So there was a little story I put in my last book of the philosophy professor who went to the five-star restaurant. And when he went to the five-star restaurant, the maitre d' took him to the table. The butler, who looked like a butler anyway, instead of a waiter, it was a very high-class restaurant, gave him the menu. And the menu was just really, really, almost like a piece of calligraphy written on really thick parchment. Not like McDonald's, or it was a really beautiful menu. And so the professor said, thank you, and he ate the menu, paid his bill and left, still hungry. So I think you understand what that means. Eating the menu, the thoughts, it's not the food. So when we thoughts go crazy, it's simply because you've given the thoughts way too much value, much too importance. And so you calm down little by little, and then when you've calmed down enough, beforehand or the very beginning of the meditation, look at your body, relax that, you can't name the body. Go to the present moment, put down the past and the future, that little exercise, because that stops most of the thoughts. Thoughts are usually an expression of wanting or trying to get rid of stuff. And to do that you need a past or a future. Wanting is a place where the future is necessary to want something. A place where that wanting can land and establish itself in the future. I want to go out for dinner this evening. I want to do this later on. You need a future for wanting. And ill will, negativity needs a past to compare. When you let go of both the past and the future, you really let it go. All this wanting and ill will, getting rid of stuff, it can't persist. Like I say, a bird flying through the air, but it's got no place to land. And that's like thoughts without a past or a future. Little by little, the thoughts stop. But also, we have to be able to not be afraid when thoughts stop. A lot of times, because we're going into an area of existence which we're not used to, we're afraid of that which is unusual. We like our comfort zones. Just like the old simile of a prisoner being released from jail. Don't want to leave. I'd rather have jail than freedom, because I'm used to jail after 20, 30, 40 years in jail. Or like for those Indonesians, the worm in the pile of cow dung. I don't want to go. It's my home. Anyway, that's how to calm down. Letting go of the thoughts. But don't rush it. It takes time. And then after a while we don't think about thoughts. We just let them go. I often notice in meditation when going deep that I start feeling afraid. Ha! I never read this, but I just said it beforehand. I often notice in meditation when going deep that I start feeling afraid because of going to places unknown. Ha ha! Do you have any suggestions for me to get past this? Yeah, of course, what happens? It's unknown places, but you feel freedom. So feel the sense that this feels peaceful, this feels good. And you know, sort of monks who meditated for years say, yeah, go for it, this is great, be free. But sometimes it's hard. So using the prison simile, when a person's been in jail for a long, long time, you don't just say, okay, you're out of here, and just kick them out. You give them like day release, and then maybe weekend release, and then like halfway houses. So they're half in, how they've got to get used to a new lifestyle. And eventually, hopefully, that when they get accustomed slowly to the new situation, or like astronauts who come back from the space station, it takes them a while to rehabilitate just life back on Earth. So this is like when you go to places unknown. You go in there, be courageous, and then after a little while they're perfectly safe. That's my job, to convince you that this is wonderful places to go. Peaceful, still, totally safe. And you come out afterwards and you're so good and so energized and happy. Yeah, it's weird, but life. We have adventure holidays. Go to places unknown, Kakadu. Go up to the Himalayas, the Everest base camp. Go up the Amazon. Go, to taking tourists if you're really wealthy and a bit dumb. Shouldn't say that, but go up into outer space with SpaceX tourism or whatever it's called. Yeah, but it can be scary. People go bungee jumping. They go, what else do they do which is really scary? Go and watch movies like Alien. But you know, other people have been there and they're fine. And afterwards you realize, well, why not? This is going to the greatest unexplored territory inside of you, inside your body, inside your mind, inside of silence, inside of stillness. That is so cool. And if you don't get convinced, those people who have diseases, and you see them being cured, cancers vanishing, psoriasis disappearing. What was that other little girl that a few months ago, her spine just straightening. All this amazing stuff which you see. And that gives you some encouragement. Yeah, this is an important thing for me to do. So this is why going, you get afraid, yeah, but it's much of life you're afraid. And you just go past that. But this is perfectly safe. So, any questions from the audience here? People from overseas get always the first choice, which was one reason why that one day people were sitting here and they thought, I never get a chance to ask a question. So you know what they did? They texted on here from their seat. And I think it was they put on Mohammed from Saudi Arabia or something. And of course, whoever chooses the questions, they've gone straight on the top. It was they just made it up. But my goodness, their question got answered first. So any questions from anybody here? Okay. You know, sometimes you see all these meditations about just making your mind peaceful, relaxing, being mindful. But you know, sometimes, come on, let's get into the real stuff, the deep stuff, nimittas. Yeah, they blow your mind. And just don't be afraid. Bliss, real strong, energized, pure bliss, ecstasy. Not the stuff you get from a pill, but the real stuff. Whoa, this is good. And also just the energies of your mind, the clarity, the power, the awakeness of it. And that's marvelous for people to experience. And the question is, why not? It's perfectly safe for you, so you go into this nimitta world, don't be afraid. And have this positive mind. Well, I don't know, people always see the faults in things, see the dangers in stuff. What about seeing the positives in it instead? Oh, what if it all goes wrong? What if I go crazy? What if it doesn't go wrong? What if you don't go crazy? What if you blooming get enlightened? That'd be a nice thing, isn't it? So what if you get healthy? I'm afraid. But that negativity which you see so much in our modern world, always seeing the faults in things, the faults in yourself, that means when you get these nimittas coming up, these lights in the mind, we always doubt them, we're negative towards them. It can't be me, I can't do this, not me. Maybe I'm a monk, yeah, if I'm a monk or a nun I can do this, but not me. Of course you can. And also, what happens if you go deeper? Ooh, the blissful stuff. So why not? Get into it. I say that because the most weird people get into the most amazing states. I said, can't remember when I give talks, whether it's at the Cancer Support Association or Friday night or Tuesdays at Armadale or to the monks on Wednesday night, but that fellow who had all the tattoos over them. I thought he was come to one of my meditation retreats, and I thought he was should have gone to the prison up the road. Totally stupid. Discrimination from me, just because I saw him. I said, "You can't be in this place. You know, this is not a place for people with big and tats and stuff." And I realized just how stupid I was and how I judged. And this guy, he was on one of my retreats, and he got into this incredible deep jhana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can't judge. Who the next deep meditator will be. And it could be you. Da da da. Okay, so I decided that's code for about time you stopped. Okay, so now we could just pay respect to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, just bow three times, and then you can come up and ask your questions, whatever.